There is an important aphorism put forth by Immanuel Kant to the effect, perceptions without conceptions are blind, and conceptions without perceptions are empty. A consequence which Immanuel Kant demonstrated with respect to a consciousness which is limited to these two functions is that metaphysical knowledge is impossible. A conclusion with respect to which he himself was not too happy. As part of the thrust of this life of mine, there has been the effort to render a metaphysical knowledge possible. But this becomes possible, as I see it, by the recognition of a third organ, function, or faculty of cognition, which I've called interoception, which is not normally active in most human beings, but lies potential within them. This becomes active by the event known as fundamental realization or enlightenment, and that by these means a metaphysical knowledge is possible. I should like to make a parallel aphorism following the general lines of Immanuel Kant's statement in the form, the pure mathematics without metaphysics is empty, and that the pure metaphysical vision is unthinkable without mathematics. But by the marriage of these two, the unthinkable becomes, in some measure at least, thinkable. And as the principal thrust of this life of mine, which is now inexorably drawing to a close, I believe that I've contributed something to the rendering thinkable of the unthinkable. And I leave to you the resolution of that paradox. I have presented in the present tape, in an earlier portion, as part of a discussion of the principle of periodicity, a fundamental aspect of the law which governs all, a considerable mathematical statement. I had you visualize a rotating circle in a way that developed the sine curve, which, as you remember, or should remember, is a periodic curve and is used to represent mathematically all periodicities. That first circle was conceived of as rotating in a counterclockwise direction. and generated the curve in a way that I elaborated in the tape. Then I superimposed upon that rotating circle a second rotating circle, moving at the same rate in a clockwise direction, which generated a sine curve that was the mirror image of the first sine curve. The sine curve represents, as I pointed out, the facts concerning our life cycle, among other periodicities, representing birth and growth to a zenith position, and then descent to death, and then an entering into a hidden domain below the line, and continuing on to rebirth, a process which continues ad infinitum and ad nauseum. I applied it then to certain principles enunciated by Dr. Carl G. Jung in his Type Psychology. Imagine an individual who is born as a thinking type, and he rises into maximum manifestation of that capacity and declines unto its descent. At the same time, his feeling function moves, as it were, in the path indicated by the second rotating circular prayer wheel. As the thinking function develops to its zenith position, the counter-feeling function descends to a nadir position, and then ascends to the point pi, where it crosses over the line and becomes ascendant, and the thinking function descends into obscurity from our present point of view. And that this continues indefinitely. And the same pattern could be applied to those who are of other functional types, such as the sensational or the intuitive. Now, if a vertical line were drawn vertical to the direction of these curves, or the x-axis, as I explained, it would be found that it would intersect these two curves at points that were of equal distance above or below the horizontal line, so that the algebraic sum of these distances is always zero. Zero here representing the principle of balance or equilibrium. No matter how much any capacity or function may ascend, there's a counter descent of the complementary capacity or function. And the sum of the two is always zero. This we may apply in the macrocosmic sense and in the microcosmic sense. The resultant of all steps, of all phases, is always zero or balance. The universe on one side, as we see it here, seems to be a development in a certain direction. But on the counter side, which we do not ordinarily see here, it is a development in the opposite direction. And the sum of both sides is always zero, or balance. So in the life also of every microcosm, which is a replica of the macrocosm. Shankara said, seek the permanent in the impermanent. It is the zero value which is the permanent fact. Otherwise, we move in a zone of ever becoming and becoming not. But at the same time, because of the counter movement, the sum of all is always zero or balance. To orient to this, even though participating in the becoming and becoming not, is to attain ultimate security. It is possible when the breakthrough comes to withdraw into that domain called the unmanifest. This is known as a nirvanic withdrawal. But it is possible to take another course, and it is for this other course that I think we can find the real meaning of the Kuan Yin vow and the message of the voice of the silence. That the aim of the Kuan Yin vow and the message of the voice of the silence is only partly revealed by the objective of seeking the redemption of all creatures. But over and above this, it leads to the way whereby man can be conscious of that which changes not ever, and of that which is ever subject to change. To be aware of the all as ever in a state of balance, unchanging, and at the same time passing through a periodicity of becoming and becoming not. This, I submit, may be the real meaning of the para nirvanic attainment. That it is the ultimate goal of man, and that the nirvanic withdrawal is only a penultimate goal, not the supreme attainment. Now, if I use a language that often is not intelligible because it is mathematical, I ask you to bear with me because I'm aiming at the objective of rendering the unthinkable thinkable in whatever terms may be possible. So bear with it. And now we will continue with the balance of this tape. Incidentally, I forgot to bring it in. Would you get one in the office?